let's go to the WhatsApp. Right now, there has been some follow-up on the issue of the CXCs, and someone sent me a news clip from Loop News Barbados that indicates that there's a petition for CXC to review results, and it has passed 1,000 signatures in 4 hours. There are several people who have messaged to indicate that they need reviews of their results. So I think this is something that we definitely need to keep our eyes on. Let's go to the phone lines now. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Doctor?
Yes.
I am pleased to hear you on your own today.
Thank you.
Living in Lonesome Street. Without any interference from other moderators.
You mean assistants?
Well, you call it assistants. But they know the moderator very well. Anyhow, since you are on, I believe you should be utilized in your profession, which is political, right or wrong?
Yes, go ahead. Feel free to do that.
Yes. I always use Peter politically, and since you are the second political scientist, I don't know if you're the analyst too, but I believe you should be used with your what you are qualified in. Now, we want to look at the St. George election coming up, by election that is coming up.
Yes.
Now, I recall Peter, in his wisdom, said when he became a political analyst, he was told by Patrick Emmanuel never allow himself to be connected to a political party because he would have been unable to bring a true picture of his polling. Now, I hope that you would take that into consideration.
Well, and I am not connected with any party, but I also do not do polling.
Right, okay. Well, I hope that you will look at the politics the way you would look at it independently and give a fair comment.
I try to do
now,
so.
Now, let me say this. We have heard two names being bandied about in Barbados at this present moment pertaining to the Democratic Labour Party and the Barbados Labour Party. But the most convincing one that I am dealing with this morning is the presidency of the Democratic Labour Party.
Yes, this is quite interesting to me too.
Right. I read today's paper, Real Ronald Jones, and no other person but Dr. Dennis Lowe,
yes,
said that he would be supporting George Pilgrim because he believed in democracy. Now, I hope Dennis Lowe remember when he was Minister of Environment and how he sat about with the NCC worker that was laid off. I want to know if at any time he exhibited any democracy in sending home people and still the way he did it, which caused a lot of confusion, that even went before the Employment Rights Tribunal. Mm-hmm. You cannot practice one thing yesterday and come back in principle and believe that you is St. Paul.
Well, you probably shouldn't, but clearly people
it's
can.
Politics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to look at the record of George Pilgrim. I would not in any way mention my own experience with him, but I can leave this for the public to hear. I came into St. Thomas in around 1981. Prior to that, being associated with the Democratic Labour Party, I knew the Democratic Labour Party, St. Thomas branch, was a vibrant branch under J.L. Happy Brown, under Junior Rock. But from the time that George Pilgrim took up the candidature and was the president of St. Thomas constituency branch, it is no longer valuable. You only used to have one branch meeting every annual for the annual conference. From St. Thomas branch, and he went into George Street and was serving the Democratic Labour Party for a period of annual conferences as General Secretary, in which, if you count the times that the Democratic Labour Party win election under his watch, you cannot even, you got to get a microscope to look at it. But I could record and tour it after removing from General Secretary Chris Sinclair took up at the party one. He moved from George Street and created history in St. John. We had the people and the party sent him up in St. John in a seat that people thought was cemented, I'm going to repeat the word, cemented with the Democratic Labour Party. And he was unable to break the chains and allow the Barbados Labour Party to come into play. Now, if you're looking for a president, are you going to tell me that that is the president with that sort of exhibition that exposed to the public as a president to lead a country? Could you lead the Democratic Labour Party into a by-election with George Pilgrim a failure? I can continue to say a political failure. So the Democratic Labour Party can't be serious, neither George, neither Dennis Law, nor Jones. They've got to start looking, and if they want to see the end of the Democratic Labour Party, let them take George Pilgrim. That would be the end. Now let me go on now to St. George proper. Now,
But before you go on, so you think that Verla DePisa is a better option then? Is that what you're saying?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. She better than... If you were bringing somebody else, I would look at it differently.
Mm-hmm.
But the accusations that are being laid, and I felt within myself that she was not doing any work. Then I said she could have been the second Clay Miles cook. I was fearful. But when I look now and see what was happening, the lady said that none of these former candidates, but she could not run the party alone, none of them came out and make any presence felt to help the lady to push the party ahead.
Mm.
But if I could, dear, let me look at politics. If Verla asks herself to be the president of the Democratic Labour Party, and those people in George Street decide to make sure that she don't become president, you think the people in St. Lucie, in all fairness, should accept a candidate where the party of itself would not accept as a president? Let me answer that question for me.
It's an interesting point. I made some comments earlier at the beginning of the program based on my analysis of how some people tend to be used just to hold a space when there is a crisis. So while the party or whatever institution is working out what they want to do, what the future may be, they use somebody to just hold a space, fill a gap. And I can't say with 100% of certainty that that is what has happened with Ms. DePisa, but there are some suspicions in my mind about this, and we really have to look at how this will play out in the Democratic Labour Party. I think it's a political party that has to really try to rebuild itself and to present a different sort of image if it wants to have success, not just in this by-election, but going forward. And this is not just for the DLP. In my opinion, this is for democracy in Barbados. We need to have strong political parties so that people have choices and we are not just between a rock and a hard place at any election that is called.
All right, let me go over now to St. George proper. And the candidate that who will be leaving. I was connected with Uncle Jack Odell, we used to call him, and Glenn Clark. I was saying to myself and to the people in St. George North that Glenn Clark is very unkind. And let me say this up front. When Jack Odell was leaving St. George after he was defeated, he put his weight behind Glenn Clark and made sure that the executive of the party accepted Glenn Clark as a candidate because he was a major soldier in his campaign. What has Glenn Clark done to the soldiers that was around him in St. George? He neglected them. He has not shown the same gratitude that Jack Odell did to him. There was a girl named Kay Burke that spoke on the same platform with me for Glenn Clark. In 1994, Cupid and myself Glenn used to send a motor car for me at my business and down there in Cheapside to come and speak on his platform. How could Glenn Clark, in his honesty, tell the people of St. George that he cannot find somebody after 26 years that toys in St. George with him as a St. George person to represent the people of St. George, but he could send them people on the air telling you all Glenn Clark got to do is walk wrong with this person? Mm-hmm. What madness you telling me? If Glenn Clark walk wrong with the person and then Glenn Clark leaves, he leaves the person there on the back to the people of St. George North. No guarantee you.
It is up to the people to decide if that is good enough for them. If it is good enough for them to just have someone who, as you call it, takes a little tour and then to vote for them. Unfortunately, we have to go to a break. So thank you for calling. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Dr. Christina Hines. Let's take a call.
Hello. Hi. Good morning, Dr. Hines.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm not too bad at all. You know, I could boast. I could go to the mountaintop and I could shout. I was the very first caller to welcome you to this program.
Oh, thank
you. When you first started a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Right? Listen, I want to talk a little politics, right?
All right.
And I'm happy that I held on and wait to hear what people had to serve up. I'm going to just say a few things in respect to George Pilgrim.
Okay.
Right? Who happened to be my friend. You cannot go down the shop and buy a friend. Right? You don't create a friend that way. And I would say this. I was a member of the Democratic Labour Party for 27 years before I break rank with them. And I am absolutely sure that it's not fair to say that if St. Thomas, where I come from, and I used to be a part of the branch, only had one meeting, and the meeting was to cement somebody at our conference. We used to hold meetings regularly.
All right.
As a matter of fact, there's one thing that I would admit. The numbers then up to the kind of numbers that you would like. But then when I traverse the other constituencies, I don't see no big numbers either. All right?
Okay.
But just let me go on to say this. If there's two people in the Democratic Labour Party that could bring back a little stability and a little organized structure to the Democratic Labour Party, George Pilgrim is one of them. And if there's only one, George Pilgrim would have to be that one. Okay? The man is an organizer. The man is a hard-working man. When it comes to the Democratic Labour Party, all the licks that George Pilgrim received over the years from big players around the party, George Pilgrim has never left.
So let me ask you a question. Why didn't he come to the forefront immediately after the electoral defeat in 2018?
I would say this to you. That is a question that I cannot ask. But the same question can ask about the same Dennis Lowe. The same question can ask about Eswick and all of those big ministers.
But we can say all of them were damaged. All of them were severely damaged because of their tenure.
Good, fine. But I will say this to you. I will say this to you, Dr. Hines.
Yes.
And all of that mixed up in 2018 in the general election, it didn't take a political scientist, it didn't take a rocket scientist to know that the Democratic Labour Party was sitting on a deathbed as long as Ms. Motley come down. The same George Pilgrim, and you could check it, the same George Pilgrim that take up himself and went to St. John, he is the only person in that whole mix-up that received the most votes on behalf of the of the Democratic Labour Party, there in another, not another candidate that received as much votes as George Pilgrim. So okay. I don't see George Pilgrim as a failure, right? I think that George Pilgrim, and I hope that George Pilgrim win this weekend down in George Street. I can't help him, but I hope he win, right? Because I know where George Pilgrim heart is.
Well, good luck to all of the, all right. the people and, who
and,
are running.
And I will go a little further to say this. I will go a little further to say this. George Pilgrim is the research animal. Okay? Anything you want to know about the political Huskins in Barbados, especially between the Barbados Labour Party and the Democratic Labour Party, you can call George and call that the cuff. I wish him well. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you for calling. Just to let you all know what we're seeing in the WhatsApp, there are even a couple of students who have contacted us to say that they need to have their grades queried. They worked very hard. They went into their examinations with very good marks, and they received 4s and 5s. There are parents who are also complaining about the same. There are some individuals who are suggesting that there should be a road named after the late Owen Arthur, preferably in St. Peter. And there are other suggestions about building names. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Let's take a call. Good morning. Hello, good morning. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. Am I speaking with Dr. Hines?
Yes, you are.
Yes, good morning. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Just for a bit of clarity, I remember when my brother, Mohammed Nasser, spoke to you. He had asked if you were the daughter of Dave Hines.
He did ask that.
And you said yes. But I want clarity as it relates to, is this the Dave Hines of Hines Transport?
The same.
Okay. Well, now I can say to you without a shadow of doubt, I had the privilege of meeting that gentleman 40 years ago.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, my name is Andrew Applewhite. I'll tell you up front my name. I met him when I was plant manager for a company called God Limited in Newton, Christchurch. And he was the financial controller of Corcom. Mm-hmm. They wanted a bit of space for his office, and we were able to connect. And I'll tell you, that connection has really placed me in very good stead, because at the time, I would have been a young person, 27 years old, thereabout. And with my background was electronic engineering. But he was very steadfast in saying to me, if I want to rise up the corporate ladder, I must have a balanced background, and I should do a second degree in business and major, or try to major, in finance. And I took his word, and I did. The end result of that is that I rose to the very top of the corporate ladder as managing director of the now defunct Beltronics Limited and corporate director. Yeah, so he as far as I'm concerned, he had one of those guys that would go down in my memory, my mind, as being a tremendous human being. And since you're cut from that cloth, I said earlier when I welcome you that I would like you to do well, but I would be very steadfast to ensure that you do well.
Well, let's see.
Yeah.
You know, there are two sides of the cloth that are sewn together.
That is true. Yeah.
So tell me.
My thing today is also going to be political, in the sense that I am the type of person who I like to be analytical in the way that I look at situations. And I think that this situation where coming up this weekend, there's the push to have Erla de Pisa replaced as president of the Democratic Labour Party, I truly believe that the timing is wrong. I truly believe that this will very well lead to a political disaster. And I'll explain to you why. Yes, the last election in 2018, people were pretty upset about all that was happening, and they voted, I would say, in some cases, in a very angry way. The end result, we all know, was a 30 love drubbing, which the Democratic Labour Party got. Now, I'm saying now that women are very much in control of the situation now as it stands across the board. My belief is if she is, if Verla DePisa is retained and some of the old guard work with her in the background, what would happen is that at the next poll, I'm not talking by election, that would be, would sort itself out. At the next general election, I don't expect that the Democratic Labour Party could win that election. But I believe that if you have a lady at the helm with the qualifications of the present leader, the women vote would be somewhat split. That's how I'm reading the situation, because women do support each other.
Oh, okay. You know, yeah. There's not a lot of evidence for that when we look at politics worldwide. Women do tend to support the known candidates, which are, for the most part, men. I think there are people that like charismatic leaders in the mm-hmm. Caribbean, and yeah. We certainly have a charismatic leader in Miss Motley. So
that's right. But
I don't know if that is 100% true.
Well, here's what I'm saying to you. It's not 100% true because nothing is perfect, but here's what I'm saying.
Or even 90%.
Well, I'm saying that Verla DePisa, as her background is in law, as is Miss Motley's. I'm saying that I'm still maintaining that the momentum is with women at this point of time, which really started with the Democratic Labour Party when the former Prime Minister appointed the Director of Public Prosecution was a woman. The registrar was a woman, and it was crowned off with the governor general being appointed a woman.
So but the appointments are different from the elections, though. This has always been my concern. Appointing
true,
people is a lot easier than getting them elected.
And that is true, but the point I'm making is that once you have all those women in place, the only slot that was left vacant to some extent was that of the prime minister. So I'm saying that, for me, it was an easier ride for Miss Motley, in that Miss Motley obviously has the charisma, she's very popular, and I believe that helped with the swing, the general swing, that brought her to the point. So I'm making the point. I believe if it will be a retrogressive step, if you place a male and it is felt that the woman was unfair, this is the point I'm trying to get across to you.
Okay.
I'm saying that right now the Democratic-led party, as far as I'm concerned, there are three women in there who are very strong, good, solid women as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Verla DePisa, Irene Sandiford Garner, and Marlene Rice Bowen. I'm saying if you were going to shuffle the cards and you had you maintain a woman at the helm, I believe that would give them more momentum going into the next general election than if you bring back the old guard with the kind of baggage that they would be bringing back to the table. That is my opinion, okay?
Yeah, enough fair said, enough.
Right, enough
I think
said
they also
that.
Need to work on strategy too, though.
Yes,
and the candidates,
agree.
Some exciting
agree.
Candidates would be needed.
That is very true. But I still maintain the point that it would be more than a political disaster to try to remove the lady at this time.
Okay?
Yes. Now, my second point has to do with the second appeal that I'm making to my representative in St. Philip North for some attention to be paid to five roads, specifically in Church Village, St. Philip. And the five roads are the White Road left by Michael Lashley, where he did his best to try to get it completed. Here in Garner's Land, Church Village, there's the Martian Hall Road. That no attention has been given to that. There's the Freehill Road, which no attention has been given to that. There's the Quaker. Now, this is where you have the Quaker burial site, which is a landmark. I believe it's a national treasure, let's put it that way. But there's it's an unpaved road. And there is also the fifth road is in the back village, where there's a road leading from Patsy Moore's home to Lucille Mason's home. So I am making another appeal for the representative or someone who she can have come take a look and try to help us get this area sorted out. Okay? So thank you for allowing me to voice my opinion today, and I wish you well.
Thank you for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Hines.
Yes.
I too would like to welcome you to the program.
Thank you.
My contribution today really was about business, right? But hearing you talk on politics, I just want to make a little contribution in that area. And this is in response not to this last caller, nor Wesley, but the caller before Wesley, provided that you know who Wesley is.
Okay, go ahead.
Right, the caller was talking about, he was more or less minimizing George Pilgrim and considering him to be a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe that failure and success in a political party or when you are vying for a constituency, it's not dependent upon you alone, but I believe it is also dependent upon the party itself, and sometimes maybe the party leader, but the party as a whole. Because if you have a strong party, chances are you have a better chance. If your party is in power, you even have a better chance because of the popularity of the party or the leader at the time. I can't say that I know of any situations where the incumbent party lost in a by election. It may have happened, but I can't recall, because you are in office and technically you should win because you got all of the resources. So I am saying basically you can't cast all the blame on Pilgrim for losing his elections, having the election defeat several times. Right? I'm saying it could be the party, the problem could be the party as well.
Okay.
David Thompson was a loser too, right? Don't forget, David Thompson lost the 1994 elections. He lost in 1999, and chances are he would have lost because the Democratic Labour Party also lost in 2002, I think it was. He would have lost then as well.
Mm-hmm.
But as bigger a loser as he was, he still came back and win by a landslide. So you can't write off people simply because they've lost. Dipper Barrow lost as well, too. And they turned out to be one of the best leaders Barbados have had. So I don't agree with that. Now, Pilgrim versus the Pisa, where we're saying that you should not elect. Well, people are saying, yeah, they support Pilgrim. But it maybe just be a perception that he's better than Verla. Because people are saying, don't use Pilgrim, use Verla. But the thing is, there are many more choices at this point in time. So you have to use the best of what you have. And it is good that they have voting so that you could choose who you want. So it will not be an unfair pick. The people will decide who they want. The reason why Verla, I didn't know that she said she didn't get help, but I heard somebody say so earlier, maybe the same caller, that the old guard did not come back and offer any assistance. But I can see a reason for it, because Verla, to my mind, and some of the new candidates around her, to my mind, has been taken and listening to the advice of Peter Wickham.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he's listening to Peter Wickham's advice. Detrimental to the party, and it's so because Peter has a personal thing with the party, and you know
how do you know that?
No, from his mouth things, right? And I'm saying that
this is an opinion. Go ahead.
He's a pollster, and sometimes Peter we're gonna have to separate his pollster professional input from his personal. When he's speaking personally, he needs to say so. Because sometimes he speaks, and people say that it's the pollster speaking, but sometimes it's not the pollster speaking, right?
Well, so, we wear a lot of hats, so sometimes it is difficult to juggle them.
Right, but that's the thing, right?
Yes,
so
go ahead.
I would say that's my opinion, you know. I say it's a fact, it's my opinion that I believe Verla listened to. I can tell you the reason why I believe Verla listens to Dennis, to Peter Wickham, because Peter Wickham say, you don't bring none of them around you. Don't bring none of them around you. And I hear she talking as though she's keeping them off. Don't bring Dennis Law around you. And it sounds as though she's doing it. And so that kind of advice, don't bring, you take a new party, a party with new young people could win elections in Barbados. Impossible. Mm. I can't see that. I don't know if you want to comment, but I want to go on to my real point.
Yes, go ahead. Let's hear the real point.
Right. Now, Owen Arthur, you can't take away the contributions that Owen Arthur has made. Let me list a few, right, that I can think of offhand. The best economy that we have ever had, and I don't think anybody could deny that, because remember that when he received the economy, we had, I think, they said 2 weeks of foreign exchange, and then he bring it up to 13 weeks and left $2 billion in foreign reserves. So all of that is testimony to the fact that he was great. He had the lowest employment level. I think employment went down to about 5%. And they say, I hear in economic terms, that when you're down to 5%, you could essentially call it zero unemployment. So, because the 5% are people who are willfully unemployed, or some terminology they use like that. He was responsible for the increase in golf courses. And you know, golf courses tend to bring in certain class of people mm-hmm. to play the game and so on.
He was also a lot of water, I think, too, though.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know I got his side, disadvantages too. But condominiums also rose underneath him, which I agree might have competed with hotels. And he had record construction levels in Barbados too. So
right.
He did great. You
he
can't
did great.
Deny.
True.
And I find the thing is, though, when people pass away and you're given these eulogies and so, like they had in the House Assembly yesterday, You always talk about the positive sides of people. Well, there's no holiday. People lambast Reverend Massey for speaking of the good side of Winston Hall. But that happens at death. But one of the things one should not do at death is to ascribe to you greater things than you actually did. And I made a specific reference to yesterday in the House of Assembly where Glenn Clark said that Owen Arthur was responsible for the increasing in opportunity for poor people to get land in Barbados. And that can be further from the truth, not in this Barbados I live in, because up until the time Mr. Arthur became Prime Minister of Barbados, land was cheap, and anybody could go out and get a piece of land. Poor people could get land.
Okay.
Since that time until today, poor land has gone out to reach the poor people.
But isn't this connected to what you were just praising Mr. Arthur for the building of the golf courses and the condominiums and allowing these luxury people in?
I put that there first because mm-hmm. I want to show you that you should credit the man for what he has done, but don't credit him for what he did not do.
Okay.
Those things did not contribute to the reduction in the cost of land. They were responsible for the increase in the cost of land. And a matter of fact, at one point in time, Owen Arthur said land must be made to be used for its best economic value or something. In other words, get as much as you could for the land economically. Mm-hmm. So, for Glenn Clark to suggest that land would decrease in price or became more available to support people, that part is not true. The other things I mentioned, we can speak to those are factual, but it is not factual to say that land became more accessible to the poor. If you talk about the freehold tenantry, yeah, I think that is one where people pay 10 cents for land. That was under Tom Adams.
Yes.
And that was revolutionary, right? Because I know my grandmother was able, she used to work on the plantation, she got a whole lot of land in St. John at 10 cents square foot. That is attributed to Tom Adams. That has nothing to do with Owen Arthur. And therefore, I believe that the truth should be said, right? So I disagree with what Glenn Clark said yesterday.
Okay.
I also want to point out that I said this to people all the time. If you're going to support somebody in the House Assembly and Parliament, where they have done good for you, support them. But don't tell somebody who didn't benefit that they must support them too. And you don't have to go with any majority either. And I want to make it categorically clear that during those years of prosperity in Barbados for the rich, especially, and maybe some poor people as well, I, as a business person, didn't thrive.
You did not thrive?
No, I did not. I did not. And a matter of fact, I'm in the business of manufacturing, and I can tell you, apart from land going out to the reach of poor people in Barbados, up to this day, where a teacher, a policeman, a postman, all these could have wake up any morning back in the 90s and go and pay them a piece of land, that's very tough these days. And what, apart from land being expensive now, manufacturing was killed under that same period of prosperity in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Manufacturing went through the door. With all of these good things I'm telling you happening in Barbados, manufacturing died at that point in time. And they had ample opportunity to help us in the manufacturing sector. Because when the government bought those hotels around Barbados, paid a lot of money for them, and they didn't even have much value. And I'm saying so based on Clyde Maskell, because Clyde Maskell told us so in 2002, where he made the point that the Oyava administration regime was a government of squandermania, and that they had bought these hotels from the friends for a lot of money, didn't buy much value, and then tried and put a lot of government funds in them. He lists the amount of money that lay into it, and as a matter of fact, they had to shut it down by carrying over. Now, the thing about it was that, what I'm saying is, the GEMS project, would, in my mind, could have been all right if after you acquire these hotels, you use the local manufacturers to furnish these hotels.
Okay.
But you know what? And again, I got this from Clyde Maskell, right? On VOB, on these down-to-calling radio programs, with talking with David Ellis, because David Ellis used to grill him every day. And he said that rather than buy the goods locally, what they were doing, some company was set up in Miami where you would buy the goods from somewhere cheap, send them to a company, and then send them to Barbados. And we, the manufacturers here, couldn't get no work to do. So all was not good. And I am saying that in that period of prosperity with Barbados, everybody didn't make it. And I say, if you didn't make it, why should you be thanking and praising somebody where you, who you could say could have made you successful but have caused you to fail?
Well, thank you. We have to go to the regional roundup. I understand your concern. This is Down to Brass Tacks.